Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We continue today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we're going to be starting verse number 19 today, which says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Now, we've been looking over the last few episodes at issues of the Apostle Paul talking about his desire to be around the members of the body of Christ, how Satan had been hindering him from actually doing this. And now Paul's going to start shifting into some issues talking about what the true results of the message of this dispensation actually is, and what everything that Satan has been trying to oppose related to the members of the body of Christ. Paul is actually going to be laying out here, discussing how all of these different things are part of who we are. And you see how he talks about, he says, our hope, joy, a crown of rejoicing. These things that are present for us the moment that we put our trust in the gospel message. And the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. So putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. When somebody does that, these things of the hope, the joy, the crown of rejoicing really do become that reality. And when we start looking at the idea of a hope that we have, you know, one of the things we always have to understand, so we're talking about us in the dispensation of grace. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1 for a moment to see something that Paul is going to say here related to the information that's been given to us and what our promises actually are. And here in Ephesians chapter number 1, we're going to read here verse number 3, which says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." And the idea of spiritual blessings which have been given to us, that's a radical departure from what you see spoken of related to the nation of Israel, and how Israel, everything that had been promised to them was related to physical blessings here on earth, because their promises were related to the establishment of a literal physical kingdom here on the earth. So all of their blessings truly had to be physical, things that they could see. This is why you see Paul talk about that the Jews require a sign, because there was the issue of the sign gifts were always present related to God's dealing with the nation of Israel. Paul tells us that our promises that we're given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So our hope is related to these spiritual blessings, things that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't taste. We have no idea that these blessings are ours, except for the fact that Paul tells us in his epistles that these blessings are a reality that we have. So we know that all these things are a reality. And Paul talks about how we have a hope in this dispensation. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2 for a moment. And we're going to see something else that Paul's going to say related to this issue of the hope that we have. And here in Titus chapter number 2, we're going to start at verse number 11, and we're going to read down through verse number 15. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So as we see Paul talking about this here in the book of Titus, you see how it's the grace of God that's going to bring, you know, the grace of God brings salvation to all men. So everybody has access to this salvation that's being given to us during this dispensation. So there's no issue of, well, you know, some, you know, only some people are, you know, can be saved. Paul says that all of mankind has access to that message. You see how Paul talks about it's the grace of God that teaches us that there's things we shouldn't do and there's things that we should do. So the grace of God teaches us how we're to live our life. It's the grace of God that points out the hope that we have. And Paul draws a clear distinction in this to talk about the idea of there's that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Paul draws a distinction between the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and actually what our hope is. And so many people just try to put those two things together. Yes, those things happen at the same time, but there's a hope that we have that's so much more than just his appearing. Because, you know, when we talk about what's going to happen for the members of the body of Christ, you know, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places. And in order for us to be ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity, you know, one, we're going to have to be given a body that's going to have to be able to exist there. And also, we're going to have a life that's going to allow for us to, you know, be able to be there. You know, people die. This body that we live in breaks down. But we see how Paul describes, let's go over to Romans chapter number 6. First, we're going to see how Paul's going to say something here about what it is that we've been given. And here in Romans chapter number 6, I want to read verse number 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So the whole issue is that we've been, instead of having what the wages of sin is, that's death, that's, and the death that's being spoken of there, that's not the physical death, that's the spiritual death that we could experience if sin was still an issue. We know that sin isn't an issue because the Lord Jesus Christ took care of that on the cross at Calvary. But the wages of sin is that death, that separation from God for all of eternity. And instead of that being an issue, that being a possibility for us, we see that Paul says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That the gift that we've been given is we've been given a promise of eternal life, a life that's going to allow us to be in the heavenly places with him for all of eternity, and that we're not going to have to worry about that. When we talk about the body, you know, and as we get older, we see all the signs of this body breaking down, the aches and pains that come about, the physical problems that come about just as that result of old age that happens. You see how Paul does go into a description to talk about the body that we're going to receive that's been promised to us. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and we're going to see Paul talk about this body that we're going to have, and as he describes this, we know that this is a promise that we have, and it's something that's going to happen that we are going to receive in the future to be able to exist in the heavenly places, to live with him, to reign with him. This is what we need in order for this to occur. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to start here in verse number 38. We're going to be reading down through a lot of the chapter here as we look here. And it says in verse 38, "But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another." So we're going to stop there for a moment, because we're going to see how Paul's going to start describing this, that there's a terrestrial body, an earthly body. You know, that's the ones that we know that we walk around in today. And that there's a celestial body, a heavenly body. And this is what he's going to start describing here of this heavenly body and contrasting it with the earthly body that we have. Verse 41, "There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory." So we see how the glory that's being spoken of here, when we look at how Paul's saying the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, the brightness of those things is what Paul's describing as that glory. That's how the result is going to be for us. As we get those bodies, there's going to be a difference in the glory based on the gold, silver, precious stones that we've built, the position that we're given in the heavenly places. Based on it, there's going to be a difference in that glory. But as Paul starts, lays that out, then he's going to start describing the reality of this body here. Verse 42, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." We'll stop here again. We see how Paul now is shifting into this resurrection of the dead, talk about how the body that's going to be given to individuals with that resurrection is an incorruptible body. So it's a body that's not going to break down. It's going to be raised in glory. It's going to be raised in power. It's going to be given the glory and the power that's needed in order to be in the heavenly places. It's going to be given a thing of where the body is described as being incorruptible, which means that it cannot break down. So, you know, 10,000 years later, the body's still going to be in the same condition that it was the moment that we received that glorified body. And that's why we're going to be able to rule and reign with him. That's why it can be described as a hope that we have. Verse 45, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such as are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." So this whole description, you know, going down through verse 50, has laid out the things of this body, preparing the individual to say that this is what the reality is, that this is what we are going to have as that reality. Now what Paul's going to do is he's going to actually lay out the things of the timing of when individuals are going to receive this body. Where that's what we're going to see here in verses 51 and 52 here of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So the mystery that Paul's describing here, and individuals will say that the mystery that Paul is saying, that it's the catching out of the saints, the day of Christ that's being identified here. The true mystery that Paul's laying out is the fact that not everyone's going to die, but everyone's going to receive that glorified body, is going to receive that changing of the body, because this is something that had not been described in the scriptures, that nobody had an idea of what was being made a reference to. And here Paul's laying these things out to tell individuals exactly what an individual is going to receive, and that hope that goes along with the fact that we are going to be able to be with him, having that glorified body, to the point of where, when he, and now let's skip down to, we're going to pick up in verse number 54. He says, "So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the thing of what we can truly be thankful for, is the fact that we have that victory over the issues of sin and death that's been given to us through what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross at Calvary. And when we talk about this idea of eternal life, we know that it's a reality for us. Let's go back over to Titus. We'll go to Titus chapter number 1 this time to see something that Paul's going to say here about this type of discussion. And we're going to read verse number 2 of Titus chapter 1, which says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." So before the world actually began, God promised that this was going to be. That's when you look at all the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, we understand the fact that all of the promises, everything that's true of the members of the body of Christ, before the foundation of the world, the Godhead had already laid out what this plan was going to be. You know, so this is not a reaction that God is having to, you know, the failures of man, just because the nation of Israel rejected the things of the kingdom of God. You know, it's not God saying, okay, well, they rejected this, so I'm going to have to do something different, and then he kind of comes up with it on the spot. God already had laid out exactly what this plan was going to be and how the heavenly places were going to be reconciled. So this is the reality that's been given. And when we start talking about this hope that we have and how it's timed in with the things of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the body of Christ, the events that's, you know, in the scriptures is called the catching out of the saints, called the day of Christ, the event that individuals have termed the rapture, we see that Paul, if we go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, is going to lay out some details related to the timing and description of this event. And we just kind of read this to kind of lay out what it is that Paul's saying here. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we're going to read here from verse 13 down through verse 18. And it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And so we see as Paul describes this event and talks about how it's a comfort unto us. And it really should be a comfort, because it's the knowledge that we know that all individuals who are members of the body of Christ, who have put their trust in the gospel message for today, that we are going to see them again. We're going to be with them in the heavenly places for all eternity. We're going to be ruling and reigning with them. So when we have a loved one die, that we know that it's a thing of we're going to see them again. We're going to be with them. And that is truly a hope, because it's not a thing of where, you know, the rest of this world, you know, that relationship is over and we're never going to see that person again. You know, yes, we might have some sorrow because we miss them for the rest of our life, but the reality is that we are going to see them. We're going to be with them. We're going to have that eternal relationship with them. And knowing that it's not only for us, but for them as well, it is a hope for every member of the body of Christ. This is also what should be helping to motivate individuals to want to be going out to share this message with people, so that way they can be partakers of that hope, so that way they know that they have that promise of that glorified body, that they're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, and that they don't have to worry about, you know, did I do enough good things? Did I do enough good works? Did I do this or do that in the right way to have salvation? That they know that I have it as that true reality for myself. You know, that's why, you know, you see individuals start struggling with, you know, ideas of depression or, you know, the sadness that comes about, because there is a feelings of no hope. And that's why Paul's saying that, you know, we do have a hope, and it's a message that we need to be making sure that we're going out and sharing with other individuals. Now, next time we're going to pick up with the idea of the joy that Paul talks about, that the members of the body of Christ, because, you know, our life should be filled with the joy that comes from God and from the information that we find in God's Word. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information on how to watch our services live on Facebook on Sundays as they're occurring. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, but anything in our broadcast, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.